Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You Show with your hosts, Elizabeth Hamilton and Dr. Katie Eastman. And, Katie, I kind of sound like a guy.
You do, bless your heart. I mean, you have been just hacking away here, and poor thing. You know, I have a tried and true remedy with ginger and honey and lemon and tea, and it just works every time to get rid of that gunk.
Okay, well, I'm going to try that finally, and maybe we'll ask Diane what she thinks on that, too, because I have been sick for 2 weeks now since I got back from Minnesota. It just didn't go away. Somebody was hacking on me on the airplane, and I knew I was going to get sick. It was one of those moments where you just look over and you're like, oh, man, I'm going to get sick. And here I am.
Yeah. So
if I cough live on the air,
I agree. Lots of fluids and no working out for you, madam, right? Like,
well, that was going to be my kickoff question. I am so frustrated. What is the difference when you're sick in the wintertime and you're just, you know, you think this is a double-edged sword because you want to work out, but does it make you sicker, more sick? I don't know, was it sicker or more sick? Whatever. Sick. what does it do? Is it, you know, if it's in your head, can you work out? And if it's in your chest, you don't? Or is there a rule?
Well, you know what? I'm not a doctor, but that is the rule that a lot of people go with. Yeah, anything above the head is okay, and anything below. But I think if you're dealing with bronchitis, I would really cut down any kind of cardio. I mean, if you want to do a few weights, okay. But the moment you engage, you know, your chest and breathing heavily, I don't think it does you any favors. So I say go with Katie's recipe and get lots of sleep and let your body just have a rest.
Yeah, and this expertise is coming from Diane Hart of Oxygen Magazine, and her book is Pick It, Kick It. We didn't even introduce you. We just talked about coughing and hacking and everything.
Okay, we'll just jump right in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's what happens when you're a guest the second time on the show. You become family, so we love having you on here. One thing I wanted to do before we begin is give everybody the correct website for your magazine.
Okay.
Oxygenmag.com.
Yes.
Is that correct? There is a lot of wonderful information on here. I love this website.
I'm so glad. We're rolling out a relaunch of it this spring.
Are you?
So I think we're really excited about it. You know, all the different kind of features that we're going to have for people. And I think they're going to love the interactive elements that we're going to have. So we're really excited about that. And we've also just put out a new magazine, Fat Loss Magazine, that was out in early January, and it's really, really doing well. So as well as my book, I'm heading up these two projects, and it's very exciting for us here.
Yeah, and your other website for your book is pickitkickit.com. And my 9-year-old still carries that around like his little Bible, I swear. On your website, I know we talk a lot about with your group about clean eating and so forth. On your website right now, there's a little bit about belly drinks. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what exactly those are.
Well, the thing is when we talk about, sort of shedding flab from your belly, people are always going on about how they say, oh, well, you know, there's no spot reducing or anything else. And they're quite right about that. You can't really just do any sort of spot reduction in one area of your body. However, if you look at nutrition and trying to shed flab that way, that's the way you're going to do it. And so we have come up with 6 flat belly drinks that seem to really, really work. And I know we talked before when we talked about Pick It, Kick It, about how just a simple replacement of, instead of soda pop, just have water with lemon. And I just think that really is a great thing to try. And there's other things as well. I mean, there's different drinks that we just think are terrific. Green tea is a great thing, you know.
Yeah, we love our green tea. Well, I focused a little bit on the belly because there's some studies out lately that say your belly, your girth,
yes.
if you will, is a really good indication of your heart, and maybe a heart, you know, a good predictor of any heart problems that are going to come your way. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that in women.
Well, you know what? It's very true. Abdominal fat is what they're talking now is some of the most dangerous fat. To me, that's really interesting because for years people have talked about BMI as the way in which you look at your sort of body composition. But now people are saying the best way to actually see your body composition and the amount of body fat that you have is through your waist. And it's a simple tape measure around your waist and have a measure of that, and that will go a long way towards protecting your heart health and your overall health. I mean, you know, so you know, by taking in, as you say, these kind of just simple drinks goes a long way. I mean, smoothies, green tea, low-fat chocolate milk, you know, cherry juice, all of this.
Katie. She said the word.
Well, I'm just saying, chocolate, and I'm like, what?
I know. I have to tell you, we're also looking at new research. And what do you think is the number one craving women have in the
chocolate?
It is. But I mean, potato chips. It's always chocolate. It's like,
well,
we
swear it's hormonal.
Well, of course. Yes.
It's our drug of choice.
It is.
And so much of what you're saying, I'm really resonating with, especially right now because, you know, my daughter's been sick. And we fall back into ginger ale because that's the way we were raised. You know, when you're sick, you have chicken soup and ginger ale. And what you're describing, I can really relate to because after having had some of that ginger ale, I swear my pants didn't fit today the way they did yesterday. And my uncomfortable with the fizzy stuff and I really think so many times we eat or choose foods from habit, from culture, from what we've been taught. Whereas you're right, a simple glass of cold water with something lime and lemon in it would be probably much a healthier choice.
And if you want something a little bit more substantial, my big recommendation is to try these low sodium vegetable juices too. I mean, they're super. Yeah. That way you're getting in your veggies, and you're not having to cut them up or find them in the back of the fridge. You know, it's just a nice one. And now they come out into handy packs you can take to work as well. So that's just another choice. And if you find the research as well is saying that if you have something to drink, like a glass of water, before your meal, you don't tend to overeat. And I would say the same, too, for those low-sodium vegetable juices. Have that, and then you won't eat as much. And you're making better choices. Again, just like we advocate in Pick It, Kick It.
Yeah.
Simple choices, but they all add up at the end of the day. So
well, and one question I have is, you know, I first learned about Pick It, Kick It from your 9-year-old son. And he's the advocate for it, the big one. And what I'm wondering is what can we do as parents to make healthier choices more satisfying for kids?
Yeah, well, you know, it is, I have to, it's a challenge. I mean, you look around all over the place and everywhere there are, you know, hamburgers that look delicious and they're like $1.99. You know, things like that are very difficult. But I think if you slowly make changes without being preachy about it, you know, without saying these are good for you, have these healthier choices, I think if you make it like, if you teach them, let's put more colors on the plate. That's a simple and easy thing. Let's just try to put more colors on the plate. You know, let's try to make it look colorful. you know, and kids resonate with color. And so suddenly you find them, you know, a little bit of carrots, some cherry tomatoes, things that are easy and quick and not difficult. They don't have to use a knife and fork. And
yep.
Bingo, they're there. And it looks that slowly in their mind, their mind starts seeking out that, so that instead of kind of dull stuff that isn't good for them, they will start putting more colors on the plate. And, you know, that goes for adults as well. It's an easy
right.
thing to think about, but it really does work. You know?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we took Pick It, Kick It, and we took Pick It, Kick It, and Clean Eating, and we have this bowl that's in the middle of our kitchen table, and we just put the books in the bowl, and they pretty much have stayed there. And the kids, what's happened in our household is a transition. No longer are we buying frozen pizza rolls, bagel bites, and things like that. And just over the past probably, I don't know how long have we known each other now, Diane, maybe 4 months or so since I first was introduced to you, the transition in our house has been slow. We didn't, you know, we did not, you know, choke, you know, throw it, you know, down their throats or anything like that. We just slowly introduced. And you know, we have my oldest son is now making shakes, yogurt shakes.
Isn't that
with
great?
Strawberries and blueberries, and just a shift instead of reaching for the the frozen pizza. It's also we learned what we enable them to do, because you know they looked at us and said, "Well, you're the guy going to the grocery store."
You know what? That was what I was going to say. I was going to say, as well as, you know, putting colors on the plate and stuff, what you're doing is you're giving them ownership and you're involving them without saying, instead of a very hands-off kind of approach saying, I'm the parent and I'm telling you what's good for you, they're doing it themselves. They're making their own pizzas and putting their own stuff on it. I mean, you might be putting it out for them, a few tomatoes, some tomato sauce, but they're making the pizza instead of you telling them, don't eat that frozen pizza that's loaded with sodium. your own, and they're making their own choices, and I think you're giving them far more than healthy food habits. You're actually giving them empowerment to move through and make healthier choices in every way they can.
Yeah,
I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's we had something that came into our household as a gift, and it might be sort of on your website, I'm not sure, but I think it's some type of a protein shake. And a protein powder. Here, it just popped up as I'm on your website again. We had something come into the house called Muscle Milk. And you don't have to endorse that particular product or anything like that. I'm not asking for that. But in general, what I wanted to ask you is, are protein shakes safe? I was really scared to even use that. I'm not familiar with protein shakes at all.
Protein shakes definitely have their place. I mean, they are great. I'm always a proponent of food, always. Get things from food, eat clean. But you know what? For very active people who are working out, say, early in the morning, and then they're motoring off to work, they do make up a protein shake as a post-workout meal, so that they get that nutrition into them very quickly, and it is very good for, you know, building up the muscles. But I would say, for the most part, I'm a big proponent of eating clean. And getting a lot of stuff through your food. I mean, the other day I was chatting to somebody who was always sick, she's got like a 4-year-old at home. Mm-hmm. And she just says, I just can't get this. I mean, I'm going to take vitamin D. I'm taking a multivitamin. And I said, you know what? I know I should be taking a multivitamin. I take no vitamins at all. And she said, you eat that well. And I said, well, yeah, I find I don't need a multivitamin, even though I probably should have one.
I don't take vitamins either.
Yeah, well,
I don't
I
take
mean,
one either.
I,
no.
You don't either, Katie?
No,
I don't.
I used to,
and, you know, disclosure, I take hormones, but I don't take vitamins.
Isn't that interesting?
I really have a pretty solid diet of vegetables, fruit, and food. I mean, and unfortunately chocolate. But I even that has, you know, it's got its oxidants. No, I don't either.
It does.
But that's an interesting thing. It is
you
an interesting
that,
thing. And there are a lot of things out there that, I mean, there are a lot of things out there that tell you that you need them that you really don't.
Exactly. A multivitamin is supposed to be part of your daily regimen. It's not part of mine. It might be for somebody else, but it's not part of mine. I mean, there's interesting research now about vitamin D and a lot of people not getting the vitamin D that they need. And I find that kind of interesting stuff as well. But it's like so much in life. If you just look at the basic things and, you know, have an apple every day and eat small portions and cut down on your salt, all of this lends you not only to lose weight, but start enjoying food again. I mean, it's like when we tell our kids, don't do that because it's bad for you. It's like we're always beating ourselves up, sitting there saying, oh, wow, I would love that, but I can't have it. And that kind of deprivation only leads to resentment, I think. So let's get back to enjoying our food, smaller portions of it, but let's have a little bit of fun, enjoy it, and not beat ourselves up for it, you know?
Yeah,
and I think a lot of women fall trap to, I know for me, menopausal, the trap of you have to do this, and take this, and this will relieve it all. And then you're like, And you're so stressed out by all of the complementary care things you're doing to try and relieve the symptoms, you've stressed yourself out and made your symptoms worse. So I think a lot of times simplicity is the best deal. I'm not saying those complementary care things aren't helpful, because God, I'm a big proponent, but I am saying that really simplicity sometimes can do what you need it to do, and to start with the most obvious, which is always nutrition.
It really is, and you know, it's the best way and the most effective and the most sustaining way to do it, too. And as I say, it doesn't have to be difficult. It really doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't have to be overwhelming. I've mentioned this time and time again that people look at it as a very overwhelming thing to do. Well, you know what? If you take it step by step and make small changes and replace things, and, you know, as you have done with your own family, it really does work. You know,
I got to tell you. It is extremely hard. I think grocery stores would almost go out of business if there wasn't processed food. It is really hard to go into a grocery store and find clean food.
You find
it's almost like you have to just shop. I call it just shop the perimeter in a way.
Yeah, you do. You have to do that, and you have to really keep an eye out. I mean, you're right. I mean, there are tons. When I think of the amount of floor space devoted to frozen processed stuff, it's quite astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you really do have to shop the perimeter all the time. But I think once you start getting into the habit, I don't know what you guys are like, but when I go, I peer into people's grocery carts. You know, I'm the nut
the
in
time.
A grocery store. Okay, I'm just the nut because I'm looking at nutrition labels in the aisle, and then I'm peering into people's carts. And
I do that for
like,
the psychology of it, not for the nutrition.
Oh, that's funny. But I'm always amazed at the amount of cases of soda pop, bags of chips, and processed frozen foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite almost becomes a game that, you know, just to see how many baskets are filled with this and how many have some produce in it, some salad stuff, some of the stuff that you find that you have to make yourself. So, you know, yes, it is easier. I mean, a microwave oven, my goodness, you just pop anything into those. But when you really look at, you know, weight gain, the gain in diabetes, obesity, you know, all of that, Let's go back and try and make it easier on ourselves and healthier ultimately.
You know, in our house, one of the other things that we've done, and by all means, our house is far from perfect or anything like that. So I don't mean to say it like that at all. But one thing that also is working in a house of six people, you know, four of whom are boys under the age of 15, is a meal plan. And we every Sunday night, my husband and I are now sitting down for pretty much the past 4 months, and we plan out every single dinner that comes into this house for the week. And it has not only helped control the food that we're eating and make it healthy and clean, but also it has enormously dropped our grocery bill so much that we took all that money and we're taking a 10-day vacation to California.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm so serious.
Terrific.
We have dropped our groceries bill by probably half.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
We have a cash stash up on my dresser. And it's, you know, it's piddly to some extent, but we've taken the money, and then when we get enough money, we go put it in the bank, and it's the savings and the funny money for the vacation. And
that's
grocery incentive money that we've saved by not buying frozen this and frozen that and chicken nuggets. And we really have, the family has gotten to love fajitas. I don't know what it is about fajitas, but the family just loves chicken fajitas and the peppers and the tomatoes and just all sorts of things that you can do with fajitas. The kids love making them.
And so they make them on their own, like you just set out the stuff? Is that what happens?
Yeah. I set everything out on the counter, and I, you know, some of the things that might go on the fajitas are like sour cream, but even then with the sour cream, we've narrowed that down to like two ingredients as well. Because I'm finding that in any of the products that you choose, sometimes they have like 20 ingredients, and sometimes they're clean and have two, like butter, cream, and salt, or even sour cream. It's very interesting, even just within the products of the things that you choose, too.
Yes. And I find in making things like that, I have made substitutions that also make a big difference. Like you certainly can use low-fat sour cream, but I've gotten away, and my family's gotten away over the years with now we're just really into Greek yogurt. Just love.
Oh, I am addicted to that. Totally.
Yeah, 0% Greek yogurt.
Love it.
And that with salsa,
what a
like
great
some
idea.
Of this great salsa, and you can just put that on so many things, and it's wonderful, tasty, and it's just marvelous. I can't say enough about it. It's just one of these things that I just absolutely love. But that's, you're certainly, you know, on your way to you know doing those fajitas on your own is once again much more healthy, and again involving your kids. I mean, I think it's great that you and your husband sit down and figure out the meals. It's not on you. It's not on him.
No.
You do it as a couple.
Yeah,
right.
And
then
that's
what
we both found. We were both working so much, especially with Best Ever You, that we were sitting there going, "Okay, it's 6 o'clock. What's for dinner?" And
exactly.
And it was this mad rush of craziness, and so we really just backed it all out and slowed it way down, and we've sort of gotten into a routine. And then one night of the week is a little bit more, you know, free than the others. You know, like on Friday night we will have pizza night, and that can, you know, we'll let go and whatever. But overall, the amount of soda, processed cookies, frozen pizza, and things like that have all removed from our house. The one thing that I still can't quite get my arms around, and neither can my husband, that we were going to ask your help on, was snack time at school. We are very fond of throwing in
a Kool-Aid
jammer and a granola bar, and off they go to school. And I said to him yesterday, I said, I wonder if by the end of the week, if I put an apple in a bottle of water, they're going to come home every day that week not having eaten the apple, not having had the water, and hungry. But by the end of the week, I wonder if they'll eat it and drink. Because they're so used to the Kool-Aid jammer and the granola bar. We're lost on snack time.
So are
it
we.
Is.
I absolutely.
Yeah.
Excuse me for coughing.
It, It's a tough one because you want something that's portable, and something that's a little filling. So as much as you may say, okay, put in some cherry tomatoes and carrots, they're not going to eat that because they're just not that filling. I mean, what you could do, I don't know if you would be interested, but the idea of you could do your own granola bars. You can make your own very simple granola bars. There's lots of different recipes around, and if you take your Sunday afternoon or a couple of hours and do them ahead of time, then you can have those well in advance and just cut them up and put them in with some water. Rather than making changes to both, just make one change, so that you're not replacing both, you know, at the same time. I like to introduce small changes and small replacements, and then say a longer term goal is by the end of the month we're going to have snacks that have, say, these homemade granola bars, and they'll have some water. But in the meantime, let's just try to replace this very processed granola bar with our homemade ones, and then by the end of the month maybe we'll be able to send them with some carrots and some cherry tomatoes, and let's hope that they're not just throwing them out at school and then coming.
Yes, that's what, if I put in anything healthy in there, boy, that basket comes home empty, and I'm like, did you eat that? No, I threw it away.
What?
I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
You know what else is really good that I find too, that you can buy and not make, is some trail mix. And kids seem to really like trail mix, and if you find some nice pistachios, walnuts, or almonds, and even mixed in there is a few little chocolate chips maybe,
mm-hmm.
and you just send those in those little baggies, they'll eat those, and then you can go from there and just let them, you know, maybe some low fat cheese, some whole grain crackers. Those are snacks that kids will eat at school.
What are your thoughts on containers of yogurt with 23 grams of sugar in them each? I was on a yogurt kick for a little bit, thinking this was some great snack for kids, and I almost fell off my chair when I saw the amount of sugar in this tiny little container of yogurt. How much sugar should kids eat? You know,
if you're
11-year-old or something, how many grams of sugar should a child eat in a day? Do you know?
They're eating. Yeah, we know the sodium counts. The sugar counts aren't as definite, but they are eating way too much sugar, and I think it ramps them up a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I find if you cut down the sugar, the one thing I have to say, though, about the yogurt is it's a toss-up. You get a lot of great calcium and a lot of great things from yogurt. But if you choose the right types of yogurt, I choose the really, you know, no fat, and I try to choose the ones that have the least amount of sugar in them. And even if there is a bit of honey at the bottom, that's okay. It's a toss-up, you know, when it comes to snacks for your kids. I don't think
our daughter loves those Greek yogurt combinations that have the fruit. You can buy it so that it's got the fruit attached to it, kind of.
Yeah.
So you just throw the fruit in or the honey in, and she loves those. Those are great.
Yeah. Huh. You know what? It's really interesting. If you go to, Starbucks has those as well, and they actually have come out with a new Greek yogurt one that's quite a bit smaller and isn't as high in calories or fat as the usual ones. So I think, you know, more and more places are listening to the demands of consumers who are really getting quite smart. And they're looking at nutrition labels. They know that, my goodness, this is a lot of sodium. This seems to be a lot of sugar. This, you know, seems to be very high in fat. And they're coming out more and more. Are coming out with some healthy alternatives. I mean, soups, you used to never be able to find low-sodium soups or broths, never. And now there's quite a few of them. So this is all good. I have to say that in the next special that we're doing, the abs special, we actually found some great research about how to actually lose weight very safely and have it sustained, how to lose that weight and keep it off. And so we went to one of our go-to nutritionists to create a diet based on this research. So
nice.
You'll have to look for that because it's going to be coming out
great.
In the spring. And I think you'll be really excited by it because it's all very good food. And she's actually incorporated a couple of takeout places as well because she knows that people are realistic. And like you, you have your Friday night that you relax a little bit. People need a little bit of wiggle room in any way, shape, or form. And so I'm excited about that.
Good. Yeah, I hope that you come back on when that gets announced and everything and is out into the universe, and we'll talk to you again about it because we love having you as a guest, and we kind of all agreed before we started the show that we would kind of contain the show to 30 minutes today because Katie's got a meeting, you've got a meeting, and I have kind of, hopefully you haven't heard me cough too much, but I have.
You're doing really well. You just
got to
start drinking up.
What did you
That's
say?
What you have to do.
Yeah.
Go have my remedy.
Yeah, I'm
good.
I'm going to go get some fresh ginger and everything. So,
good.
Well, Diane, thank you so much again for joining us, and we love having you on the show, and we hope you'll come back again. And your websites again, this is Diane Hart that we've been talking to for the past half hour, and you can go to oxygenmag.com, or you can get Diane's book, which we love, is Pick It, Kick It, and you can buy that at pickitkickit.com. So thank you. And have a good day.
Well, thank you. It's great to chat to you guys. Hope we do it again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.